Welcome to Being the Church, a podcast from North Star Church in Blacksburg, Virginia. The goal of this podcast is to help our church family grow as disciples of Jesus who model love, humility, obedience to God, and use their influence to share the gospel and make disciples themselves. It's been a little over a month since the horrific murder of Charlie Kirk, an event that rocked our nation and really the entire world. Our pastoral staff decided to sit down and share some of our reflections on this awful tragedy, the fallout from it, and what are some good responses and perhaps less than helpful responses to this tragedy. We also talk a little bit about what boldness for Christ and the gospel should look like in the life of a Christian. Hopefully this conversation is helpful and encouraging to you. Welcome back to the Being the Church podcast. It's been a few weeks, and I know you've all been waiting with bated breath the next episode. Yeah. You haven't been able to sleep at night. You know, you've been refreshing your podcast feed, but no worries. We are back. I want to kind of set up this conversation pretty well, and then we're going to let Jeff and Sean, who are here, also kind of give some thoughts, and we'll work through this as best as we can. But about a month ago now, Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered publicly in a really horrific way. And we've had about a month now to kind of reflect on that and think about it and gather some thoughts. He was supposed to come to Virginia Tech. It just feels like a good time for us to spend a little bit of time just as the pastoral staff unpacking it, especially in our context here in Blacksburg. Charlie Kirk, very active on universities, and we have a very large university here, and he was going to be here. And Turning Point USA did still come. So I just want us to reflect for a few minutes, and Jeff, I'll let you go first. A Christian was killed, a public figure who was a Christian was killed in a very public way. And we just should not move past that reality and that fact too quickly. And especially as pastors, as shepherds of a flock of believers, what are some reflections we have just on the event itself, and either personally or even more corporately?
Yeah, the event itself was September 10th. It was a Wednesday, and that entire week really had me. It was a unique situation for me. My father passed away that Monday. I was doing preparation for officiating his funeral that Friday. Obviously, our culture was kind of turned upside down a little bit on that Wednesday. 9/11 was a significant memorial event on that Thursday. And so, man, we as a church, and trying to respond to church members and even to our local community in the middle of all of the confusion and chaos and frustration and angst, we tried to provide some spiritual leadership on that following Sunday.
Yeah.
But I wrote in my blog or in my journal on September the 11th, just reflecting on the previous day, I just simply wrote, Charlie Kirk was ruthlessly shot and killed yesterday by an assassin on a roof at Utah State as he appeared for his Comeback America tour. He was 31, beautiful family, two small kids. Charlie was an unashamed believer, and he had posted 4 days prior on September the 6th, quote, Jesus defeated death so you can live. And I'd written a blog several weeks before trying to urge people to post about their faith in Jesus. And I was still in the process of writing it, and that was when Charlie Kirk happened. And the one takeaway that I personally had from the event was, because in retrospect, looking at some of his very public affirmations of his faith in Jesus, my kind of takeaway was, man, I just want to share Jesus with as many people as I can, as often as I can, before I'm called home. Now, since the event, and as a result of the event, you know, our culture spiraled in all kinds of different ways and even splintered. We've seen negative, but we've also seen an immense amount of positive. So that's kind of my initial take.
Yeah. Sean, what are some of your reflections on the event itself?
Yeah, I know when it happened, it really shook up our family. We weren't super close followers of Charlie Kirk and Turning Point, but for some reason it really struck a a note with our family. Mm-hmm. And it just has been something that we've had to process through, thinking through, like, okay, what does this look like? What does this mean? And it's been a unique opportunity to walk with my kids, especially as they're the older ones, and talk with them about what it looks like to be a Christian in the public square. And so while there's lots of things that we can talk about Charlie's positions on things, the way he phrased things or whatever, one of the things that this has done is really create a lot of conversations and around kitchen tables and things like that about what does it mean to publicly profess Christ. And mm-hmm. recognizing that, you know, while there's a lot that, that took place with this, that that does carry some risk, you know, that it does put us out there a little bit.
Yeah, I think that it threw me for a loop, and I forget where I was. I was somewhere. It seems like with a lot of major events, I'm always somewhere with no reception. And so I kind of started getting like a little bit of, I was out in Floyd somewhere and I started getting some like snippets. And then my wife texted me and was like, Charlie Kirk just got shot. And I was like, this is not real. You know, this is not real. That was my first thought. That's not real. And then, you know, finding out it was real and then reflecting on the, just the event itself, you know, Charlie Kirk was bold about a lot of things. You know, yeah. He was a bold guy. One of those things was his faith. And we will talk a little bit in just a second about the kind of interpretation of the event and kind of how the, that has all gone. But at the very least, we need to sit here at the moment that for a moment that like a bold Christian who was bold about many things, including his faith, was killed. And that's something we obviously should grieve, you know, and obviously should take to heart ourselves. And it does inspire a little bit in the, am I being bold in my faith, you know, maybe bold about a lot of things. Is my faith one of them? And that's kind of what we've heard even from other folks as well. Yeah, just deep sadness and grief over just an objectively awful event, but then a call to boldness. But as we continue to think through this and talk through it, obviously the past month has been all over the place, because if you study history, you know that history kind of needs to be interpreted. And now this is an historical event that has happened. And although we can sit with and should sit with the objective horror of what has occurred, which is the word that really came to my mind when I heard about this, it's just the horror of what's happened. Since then, a lot of responses have been out there and a lot of think pieces, and we all love think pieces. A lot of pastors have said this, and cultural leaders have said this, world leaders, all sorts of stuff. So let's cut through a little bit of this cultural mess. And Jeff, could you just share a couple of things that you think is really helpful or has been helpful in the response to this event, this horrible thing, and then maybe some stuff that is not helpful, and help us just even in our local context shape and frame how we should think and respond to something that is this awful.
When we think about Charlie Kirk, and I would affirm, Sean, what you said, it's like I followed him, but I didn't follow him closely. Mm-hmm. But I was very well aware that he was a believer. It's one of those realities, like I don't mind speaking about Charlie. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak for Charlie, but I don't speak because of Charlie. Mm. Like as a pastor, I speak because of Jesus.
Yeah.
One of the significant things that I think we all struggle with is seeing how some pastors or spiritual leaders responded, and even church members. Gosh, across social media, we saw posts like, if your pastor didn't speak about Charlie, you know, you're going to the wrong church.
Leave the church.
Leave the church. I even saw someone say, did you preach about Charlie Kirk? And I'm like, it must have been misinformed, because I think Scripture is really clear. There's no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved.
Yeah.
And so we don't speak or preach in any other name except Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I understand the spirit and the concern, but I think that's a caution that we've had to navigate through. Mm-hmm. Because as we look at history, anytime you elevate a leader above the principles they stood for, mm-hmm. you see splinters and fragments, and you see divisiveness erupt. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's Calvinism or Methodism or, you know, churches splitting over things, when you focus on a personality or you focus on a person other than Jesus, things are going to fall apart. And so that would be my caution, is just like, our church, we've really tried to point people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think we would all agree that perhaps Charlie's worldview was that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. And because Jesus is Lord, we can speak into politics, we can speak into media, we can speak into the market.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord of all those things, and so Christians should have a voice in every one of those arenas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Sean, what are your thoughts on kind of the response?
Yeah, my fear with this whole thing, Jeff, I echo the idea of exalting Charlie over Christ. That's been a fear, but my big fear is like every other thing that I've seen with social media in the last few years. You know, if you remember, some of you guys are old enough to remember the Kony 2012 deal. You know, we were all going to find this horrible general who had these child armies. And for like a month, everybody was posting Kony 2012. And last I heard, the dude's still at large or he's died by now. And it never panned out. And we all forgot about it. And we all moved on. And my fear is where there's been this initial boldness, everybody reposting videos of Charlie sharing the gospel or being real open about their faith. My fear is that this is going to be another Kony 2012, you know, that we'll get excited about it for a minute. We'll be on fire and then let that fade. Because like you said, Jeff, we're revolving it more around Charlie than we are around Christ. So my hope would be that we can take this and in our response to it, regardless of how long the rest of the culture is talking about Charlie Kirk, we can say, hey, I want to make sure that I'm modeling my life after a believer who was bold in the public square. And I want to make sure that I continue to maintain that boldness for Christ, even when it's not cool on social media, even when the hashtags stop trending, even, you know, whatever.
That was a concern I had as well of as I'd been trying to write that blog post about Christians should be more bold about their faith, like on social media or publicly. Suddenly, afterwards, all these Christians started posting. And that's my concern is like, were they only posting because of Charlie's death? Why wouldn't they post because of Jesus' death? And even better, Jesus' resurrection. That should be our ultimate motivation for being a witness.
And I think where I would nuance it, I'm cool if Charlie's death was the catalyst that got you to start posting, it helped move you from inaction.
That's good.
Just it's not going to sustain. Yeah. And so if you're going to live publicly for Christ, it's got to be a deeper motivation than just Charlie's death.
That's good.
I think we struggle because we can't see Jesus. And Jesus said it's okay for us not to see him. You know, he said it's actually better for you that you have the Holy Spirit. He says that, you know, which is really crazy because he's like, no, it'd be better if I could just see you. And he's like, no, it's actually better that you don't. You have the Holy Spirit, all of you, which is great. And I think, and I want to be careful how I say this, but we always are looking for people we can see.
That's good.
And Charlie was bold about a lot of things. He was bold about his faith. You know, he was bold about a lot of other stuff that, you know, we three here may disagree on, that folks listening may disagree on, but he's bold about a lot of stuff and how Christ, again, yeah, does speak into the public square. But it is very important for us to not elevate him to the position of Christ, obviously, or to kind of like do a one-for-one type thing. Because, yeah, as a follower of Jesus, Charlie would want Christ magnified. Even if he doesn't agree with you or didn't agree with you on everything, you know, there would be his thing. It's what he wants, is that as a follower of Jesus, we want Christ to be magnified. I do think it's very tempting for us, though, to look for people that we can see and to attach a certain level of like almost, I don't want to say divinity, but it almost feels like divinity to them because like we can't see Jesus, but we can see this person or that person or this person. And so I think the trickle down effect is like when we see some pastors that fall from grace, some really popular, you know, mega church pastors, you know, or Instagram pastors, whatever. People's faith get rocked and they go maybe in through a whole deconstruction phase. And it's not bad to have people that you esteem, but it is, again, I can see that person. I can see them and I see what they do and I hear their words. So I think it's a call for us, really, to reconsider how real is Jesus to us? Like, is it a real relationship with a real person?
That's cool.
And is that something that we feel like we're living out of in intimacy every day? And that would be my thought kind of overall on this. So I think the last thing we'll talk about and then we'll wrap up is just, okay, so we've kind of talked about the event itself and just the awfulness there and how it kind of impacted us. And then the response since. So going forward, how can this event inform both us personally and then also maybe our church here at North Star, just in general, like what our thoughts should be for just Christians, you know, who are endeavoring to follow Jesus better and be more public and bold about it. How should this inform us as we continue to move forward?
You know, I think one of the things that I was amazed by was his memorial service. I didn't watch all of it. actually turned it on right when Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and then about a minute after I turned it on, he does this incredible synopsis of the message of Christianity, mm-hmm. from creation to resurrection to Jesus coming back one day. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, this is the Secretary of State of the United States. Mm-hmm. And then shortly thereafter, the Secretary of War gets up, mm-hmm. and talks about his faith in Christ. Mm-hmm. And from that point forward, I missed the worship service, I missed the music and all that kind of stuff, but over 100 million people plus were watching that globally. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, in Philippians, I believe it says, Paul struggled a little bit with people who were proclaiming Christ from selfish motives, perhaps.
For selfish gain, yeah.
And Paul says to the Philippian church, what does it matter? The most important thing is that Christ is preached. Mm-hmm. Because there is an inherent power in the gospel, mm-hmm. to bring people to salvation. And so there may have been some speakers, there may have been some content that might have made someone cringe. Mm-hmm. Yet, what matters the most is, gosh, the platform of proclamation that the gospel had. Mm-hmm. And since then, you know, we've talked to a local pastor recently that mentioned his church saw the Charlie Kirk effect. And what he was meaning by that was people who had not been coming to church previously suddenly were showing up in church. Mm-hmm. And so then it becomes the responsibility of all of us as leaders and spiritual leaders to shepherd, disciple, and teach the gospel extremely well so that we can lead those who might have been far from God into an intimate love relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Sean?
I think for me, it's just a reminder that we need to be ready to, you know, we always need to be ready to give an account of the hope that's in us, right, and defend that. But especially in these kind of unsettled moments where people are asking questions, where things are just disrupted and weird, we need to be ready to point people to the hope that we have in Christ and not let those moments pass without doing something, without sharing somehow, without capitalizing on that.
Yeah, as I have thought about, you know, even just for me personally, it's been a thought of, okay, well, if I don't agree with the way that Charlie Kirk went about everything that he did and said, then what am I going to do differently and what am I going to do better? Because boldness is the call of a Christian, you know. And so if being bold with your faith looks a certain way, we need to kind of take that and say, in Charlie Kirk's life, this is what it looked like. And then, all right, so what is it going to look like for you? Like, and if you have critiques, fine, but how are you going to do better? You know, because there is a call in all of our lives to be bold in our proclamation of the faith. And I think it's I didn't watch the memorial service. I saw clips of it. I actually liked that there were so many variety of people. I was talking to my dad about it, and he watched it, I think. And he's just like, it was good because it was such a clear picture of folks that were sold out to following Jesus and folks that were not there. You know? Like folks that, like, you know, you have his widow stand up and say, I forgive the person who killed my husband, which is like the gospel in, not entirely, but like a picture of the gospel in real time. And and then you have also folks that are out there that are not really there, you know? Yeah. And so from his perspective, it was like, man, it's really clear, like, hey, there's something different about some of these people. And I think that's an opportunity for us to step in and be like, hey, what's different is the gospel. And what's different is the ability that faith in Jesus gives you to be able to forgive somebody that has done something so awful and terrible to you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think the kind of, as you referenced Philippians, Jeff, it's like, I would even almost go to Acts, where Apollos is taken aside by Aquila and Priscilla and said, and it says something like they more accurately explained to him the gospel. So it's like, who do we maybe need to take aside and be like, hey, I think that I'm glad Charlie Kirk got you into church, but let me let Jesus keep you here, you know? And how can we do that in our own lives? So, yeah. Any other thoughts?
You know, one of the things that it occurs to me just kind of wrapping up is that I think we all in the past have been a little frustrated that maybe believers feel free to talk about God, mm-hmm. like this God, mm-hmm. but they're hesitant to mention the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if there's anything I think we've all seen, it's like this sudden boldness to mention the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. At the memorial service, Vice President of the United States, J.D. Vance, says that he had spoken more about the name of Jesus in the previous 2 weeks of his life than he had his entire life. Mm-hmm. That struck me. And perhaps that's one thing that we need to celebrate, is that because Scripture says that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Christ is Lord. And that's something we should celebrate, is that the name of Jesus is being talked about very openly in the public square and even globally these days.
Yeah, it's a call, I think, at the very least, we can all agree and should agree that it is a call for boldness in the life of a Christian. We do not have to be afraid, and there is a cost associated with being bold. It may not be the price that Charlie Kirk paid, but it may be. And ultimately, apart from all the accoutrements that we also may be bold about, the thing to lift high, the person to lift high, is Jesus Christ and His name. And so pray that you all are inspired to consider in your own life and context, what does it mean for you to be bold on social media, in your personal relationships, in your platform, whatever you have, be bold about Jesus. Speak about Him. Lift His name high and allow, He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw on men unto Me. And so let's be a part of that. Thanks for listening, and I will see you next time.
We hope this time has been an encouragement and a help to you in your own walk with the Lord. If it was, maybe consider sharing this podcast with someone you know and let us know you enjoyed it by leaving a rating and maybe even a comment. That'll help us gauge the helpfulness of our content and what might be encouraging to our church family in the future. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in learning more about North Star Church, head over to northstarfamily.org for all the information and to contact us if you'd like to do that. We hope the Lord blesses you as you endeavor to serve Him.
Well, welcome back to the Being the Church podcast.